here in a little bit when we gather at the table. Let's pray one more time as we commit this time of looking over God's word to him. Gracious God, thank you for meeting us here as we've gathered to worship you. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, well, we are now in the second week of Bless. Last week we talked about how we begin with prayer, with the caveat that we don't begin with prayer and then quit praying, that praying is not just a beginning, but is a constant throughout this process. But we're talking about how God's plan is to bless the entire world, and his plan is also that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we've been called to bless the world and communicate and demonstrate and live out the love of Christ in the world around us. And so last week, you got cards if you were here. And if you weren't, we have more if you want to fill these out. But we filled out tear-off cards where you were invited to write down the names of some people that you wanted to pray for over the next five-week period or more. Certainly you don't stop praying for them just because we stopped this series. But people in your life who you know maybe are far from the love of Christ or who just need the love and the hope of Christ, and you want to be able to in some way communicate that to them, share it with them, demonstrate it to them. And so, this is what we have so far. Last Sunday, we gathered 24 cards with 154 names on them. Now, sometimes it said and family. So I don't know how many people that is necessarily usually. So that I would usually count that as just one. So that's kind of a ballpark estimate. But there were definitely 24 cards, I can tell you that. 24 cards went through the offering plate with 154 names. And last Wednesday, we had an additional 11 cards. This was mostly our kids and our youth who come to our Wednesday Night Live, with 76 more names. And for those of you who don't enjoy the challenge of a good math problem, the totals are 35 cards and 230 names of people who are being prayed for by the people of Bretton Woods. Now that's a lot of people, right? And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I encourage you to keep, so when you turned in a card, you were invited to keep one of the cards. I encourage you to use this as a bookmark, keep it prominent, and really do be praying for these people. Even if we see, if we were to see like 1%, that would be two people that we have not seen before. People who may have not known Christ before, or who may be like this far away from Jesus, and then you can help them get like this far away from Jesus, and then over time maybe like this far away from Jesus. You see how this works? And then maybe a little bit like just closer and closer and closer, and then maybe someday they just like make the jump and they're like, okay, you got me. And sometimes you just have to surrender to Jesus' love because it's just too amazing and too great to refuse at some point. But sometimes that's a very long journey. So we'll pray for those 230 people and continue to lift them up. Even if you don't know everybody's name, you can just pray in your prayers this week. Say, Lord, pray for those 230 people that our church is trying to demonstrate the love of Christ to, right? And God knows who they are, right? And it could be 230 plus. And you can add more people if you want. I don't need to know who they are necessarily, but we're just going to keep praying. And so now that we've begun with prayer, we want to move to the second tool to help us demonstrate the love of Christ to the world around us, and that is listening. And before we get into what it means to listen to those people, those 230 people that we're trying to demonstrate the love of Christ to, I want to start with the necessity of listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I said last week that we begin with prayer, and listening to the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like prayer, right? But often our prayer is a lot of us talking to God, right? How many people spend more time talking to God than listening in prayer? Probably most of us, right? if you're not talking, sometimes maybe you fall asleep, right? Sometimes I think that's why we keep our thoughts and our mouths going when we pray, because we know that we won't fall asleep as long as we're still, like, saying something, right? I don't know. Maybe you guys don't have that problem of being tired all the time, but I don't know why I have that problem. But bless begins with prayer, and listening begins with God. If we can't listen to God, we're going to have a hard time listening to the people around us, right? Listening to God is like a training ground for us to be able to listen and hold presence with other people. Now you say, well, listening to another person is easy because they're talking. God sometimes is very silent, right? When we say, Lord, speak, do we always hear something? And if you start to hear something, you may start to think you're crazy, right? Oh, I'm hearing voices now. This is not good, right? When we say, Lord, speak, well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean for you to actually start speaking. Now I think I'm crazy. No, listening to God is like this, it's this discipline. And often God doesn't speak audibly. Often he speaks through senses. Often he speaks through circumstances. Often he speaks through another person. Often he speaks through his scriptures, right? I tried to make that as quiet as I could. Mics pick things up. Bruce Demarest says, a quieted heart is our preparation for all this work of God. And he's talking about participating in the mission of God, the same sort of stuff that we're talking about here. A quieted heart is our preparation for all this work of God. When we are attentive to the little nudges of the Holy Spirit throughout our day, because sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us little nudges. Have you ever experienced this? Where maybe you knew you needed to go talk to somebody. This may be very out of character for you to walk up to a stranger and ask them how they are, but you felt like the Holy Spirit wanted you to do it, and so you did it. Has anybody ever had this sort of experience? When we are intentionally putting ourselves in a position of listening to the Holy Spirit, we can be more responsive to those things. And we can tell when it's the Spirit's voice and when it's not just like peer pressure or something that's wanting us to do something or that's wanting us to not do something because we're scared. It helps us in our discernment. So my encouragement to you as you prepare to be listening to the people around you, to listening to their stories, is to spend at least one period of time every week, maybe at the beginning of the week, listening to the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I couldn't fit it on the screen, so I used HS. That's not like high school or Hank story. That's Tracy's dog, by the way. Spend at least a period of time per week listening to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's every day. But if you don't currently spend any time listening in prayer, try it. Try it out. Try it out for 5 minutes a week, 10 minutes a week. And just see if being still before God reorients you to a new place. So that's my encouragement. Before we start trying to listen to others, is to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll move on. And I think listening with care is more than anything a posture, because we have opportunities to listen. How many people know somebody who can talk? You have a friend who you know, as soon as the conversation begins, you know you'll be listening a lot. Uh-huh. Okay. How many of you are like, listening? What? You might be the person who's talking that they're laughing about. That's possible. It's possible. We can go both ways. But I think listening with care is a posture that begins with this. Do I care? Because if I don't care, I'm not going to listen with care, right? Sometimes when somebody starts talking to us, we've already decided that we don't care what they have to say. Anybody ever been there? I don't care. I don't want to listen to this right now. And I'm not going to be present. And you can just keep talking. And I'm going to be polite. But as soon as I can get away, I'm going to get away. Anybody ever been there? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry for naming those unpleasant thoughts that you tried to bury. We're not going to be able to listen with care if we don't care. And it may be sad for us to look at ourselves and realize that we don't care about somebody, right? Or we don't care to listen to what somebody has to say. That may be an uncomfortable position to be in, but we have to acknowledge that I'm not going to be able to care for somebody if I don't care for them, right? I'm not going to be able to do my sort of God-given duty to love and care for them if I really just don't. And of course, there's going to be people that we struggle with, people that we have, that we're going to have to like set limits and be like, oh yeah, maybe once a day, maybe once a week I can talk to that person. But if I get into conversation with them every day, it's not going to be good for my life, right? My emotional state. We have to set boundaries, right? This is an important thing because we can run ourselves into the ground. And some people are genuinely toxic for us, right? And there are some people that we really do have to sort of take time away from and let other people love them, right? There are situations where we have to protect ourselves from people who are going to be abusive to us, right? For people who are going to take advantage of us, people who are going to constantly try to make us feel bad or feel guilty, right? We do have to set those boundaries up sometimes. But I'm talking specifically maybe about those 230 people that we've written down and, 230 plus that we want to be praying for, that we want to be demonstrating the love of Christ to. Do I care about those people? Do I really care about those people? And if I don't, well, maybe that's one of those things that I have to bring to God in prayer as I begin this journey of trying to share the love of Christ with them. Do I care? The next thing about that posture, once we've established that we do care about someone, is to be genuinely curious about what they think. Genuinely curious about what they think. contrasting that with fight or flight conversations. There are just some people that know how to push our buttons. You know that? You know those people? Okay. Sometimes every conversation with a person seems like I have to either fight or flight, right? It's either going to be an argument or I'm going to walk away. And there's no middle ground of like actual conversation or actually doing something productive in this space. But part of that has to do with us, right? Part of that is my deal, right? I mean, we can blame the other person all we want. And, that may help us out sometimes, but we have to look in the mirror and say, well, maybe I really haven't listened to this person and heard them out. So if we're genuinely curious about another person's position, what they think, what they feel, because sometimes, especially if we're trying to talk about faith with somebody or talk about God with somebody, they may come at you with some serious pent-up aggression about God, right? Some people have some serious baggage when it comes to God. But usually, when they bring up that serious baggage with somebody who follows God, they don't want to hear it, right? How could you talk bad about the God that I love? That may be how you feel inside, but they may just need to say it. And they may need to know that you're going to sit there with them and care for them and stay with them, even though you guys don't agree. And that in itself can be an act of care and love, and demonstrating the love of God to them by being willing to be a sounding board to all their anger and hatred towards God. Right? So sometimes, confession is an important thing to Christians, confessing to one another. Sometimes we need to just say, yeah, I am so sorry that the church has behaved this way to you, that those people have behaved that way, those Christians have behaved that way to you. On behalf of them, I apologize and say that, we're not perfect. We hurt people sometimes. Even in the name of Jesus, we hurt people sometimes. And we have the authority. Jesus gave us the authority. We can apologize and confess to those people, and we can hear their confessions as well. So am I genuinely curious about what the person thinks, feels, believes, or am I just looking for a way to respond to everything that they say? Oh, they said this. I got the right answer. You may have a very good answer, but until somebody's been heard, they probably don't care what your answer is, right? Until they've gotten to share their side of the story, their opinions, their thoughts. Third posture piece, don't let urgency become impatience. You may feel like sharing the love of Christ with somebody is a very urgent thing. Like you may just feel like, I got to do this now, I got to do this today. And that may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you may need to bring something up with somebody and share the love of Christ with them or share part of your story. But sometimes we just force the issue because we're just being impatient, right? Sometimes God wants to work slow and we want to work fast because we're impatient, right? Sometimes God is calling us to join him in his slow work. Anybody ever felt like you're joining God in some slow work? Right? It's like, oh, I've been praying for this person for years and years and years and years, and the years have become decades. And every once in a while, I feel like God is working and moving and doing something in their life, but then they always go back to, anybody, you've heard this story? God is patient with us. God is patient with those people. We can join him in that patience. Listen to understand, not to respond. When somebody's talking, are you formulating your response already? Right? Are you formulating the perfect comeback to whatever they have to say? Or are you just listening to what they say? And then they're done talking and you're like, oh, you can trust that maybe you will have something to say at the end of that. You may be scared that you're going to lose your thought. Maybe you just need to keep a pen and a paper with you all the time so that when somebody's talking and you come up with your response, you just write it down without looking while they're talking and continue listening to them. No, that's probably not the best way to do it. But people can tell when you're just pretending to listen to them as opposed to actually listening to them, right? I find this happening sometimes. I've been placing myself in the community regularly, at least twice a week, spending a couple hours at a coffee shop in town, just talking to the people that work there, talking to the people that are regulars who hang out there, of which I am one now. and I can tell sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, I start getting distracted, right? Because, you know, the espresso machine is grinding and there's people having other conversations in the room and I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're talking about. And squirrel! And and it gets hard to keep that focus and really be listening to somebody, to be present with them. The story I told you on Easter Sunday of my friend who shared the story of when he was 10 years old and got spit in the face. Remember when I don't know if you remember me sharing that story on Easter Sunday. In the middle of that conversation, it was like 2.5 hours of talking to this guy. And I remember my mind wandering at various points throughout that, and I was like having to come back and come back. Okay, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's hard. And it's hard to not want to like jump in the middle of somebody's story over and over again and give them a response or a solution to their problem. Often that's not what they're looking for. And then the other posture is to let others feel what they feel. That can be hard because it may be uncomfortable because what somebody else feels may seem like intolerable for us to ever feel that way. We would never allow ourselves to feel the way that somebody else feels. So we try to, you know, give them a Band-Aid, cover it up, say, oh, it's not that bad. I'm sure it's fine. You'll be okay. Just let go and let God. That may be true and that may work for you, but sometimes people just need to feel what they feel, and we need to let them and empower them to do that. And by doing that, again, we're loving them We're able to listen to them, and we're showing genuine care for them. Now, reminder, I'm focusing on the listening side of things today. Eventually, we're going to get to share your story. I'm not asking you to be completely passive and never talk in any conversation, right? But that's like the fifth week of Bless, the share your story thing, right? I'm just helping you to be a better listener, giving you some posture, some tools of how you in your life can be a better listener. And in doing so, can demonstrate the love of Christ to the people around you. Real quick, I want to walk through this passage that Ben read for us this morning, where Jesus demonstrates some listening, and this beggar also demonstrates some listening. So it begins, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. So he was sitting there, he heard a crowd, he was listening, right? He was attentive to what was going on in his environment. He asked, what's happening? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he hears the crowd, he's listening, he's attentive that there's something going on. What is happening? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right? So he knows that, I don't know how much he knows about Jesus of Nazareth, but he knows that he's a powerful man. He knows that he's a merciful man. And he has cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Jesus' disciples always end up falling in this role of like shushing people who are trying to come to Jesus, right? And Jesus is like, come on, guys. I mean, I don't need these bodyguards. Just yeah, okay. They told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So they're saying, I'm not going to listen to you, right? And these are the people who are sort of, it doesn't say who they are exactly. It says those who led the way, probably followers of Jesus in some capacity. But they're telling this guy to be quiet. They're saying, we're not going to listen to you. Jesus isn't going to listen to you today. He doesn't want to hear from you today. That's not what Jesus is doing today. He's on his way to Jericho. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What a question. Jesus walks up to a man and says, what do you want me to do for you? Right, he's saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right? So having mercy on someone could take a whole lot of different shapes and ways, right? Showing mercy could be demonstrated in a million different ways. So rather than deciding what this man needs, Jesus walks up to him and asks him, what do you want me to do for you? We trust that Jesus knows what's best for all of us, right? He loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives. He could have told this guy. He could have shown him exactly what kind of mercy he needed. But he begins it by asking him, by validating him and saying, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. This is a blind beggar, begging, not employed. He doesn't ask, Lord, could I have $1 million? Lord, could you make me independently wealthy? Lord, could you make me Caesar? Could you give me some authority? Could you give me a really nice job with a corner office? Lord, I want to see. Now, blindness, of course, is one of the first things that he notices about himself. And that is what he wants. That's what Jesus asked. What do you want? Lord, I want to see. "Receive your sight," Jesus said to him. "Your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. I'm not sure what Jesus heard when that man said, "Lord, I want to see." But he heard faith. And maybe he heard faith when the man shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Maybe he heard faith all through the whole story. But I mean, I don't know about you, but when I've only exchanged one sentence with somebody, I can't always tell if they have a whole lot of faith, right? You may be able to tell certain things about somebody pretty quickly. But Jesus knows, and he says, "Your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. Jesus listens, Jesus cares, and Jesus heals. So, this is called, this second point of our Bless series is called Listen with Care, but I think that listening is care. In many ways, listening is care. It's where care starts. And often that is all that is required for us to care, is to really listen. What happens when we don't listen and aren't listened to? You ever been in a conversation with someone and you know they're not listening to you? It's frustrating, right? I can't remember if Marcy and I were just dating or if we were recently married, but I remember going on a date to a restaurant, and there was us, and then there was like one other couple, and the other couple on this other side of the restaurant was talking kind of loudly, and they happened to be talking about a topic that I have interest in, music, and we ate our dinner and whatever, and we left the restaurant, and Marcy was so mad at me, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. She was like, "You didn't listen to anything I said." I was like, "Oh," and I knew it was true because like I wasn't intentionally ignoring her, but I could not tune out or tone out these other people that were in the restaurant. It was like, but it made her feel invalidated, right? And it made me feel bad that I was not being a good listener, right? It was not a good situation. It's a sign of a good relationship when we are able to pay attention to one another, and that goes with romantic relationships, with spousal relationships, that goes with friendships, that goes with family. I mean, it goes with every relationship. When we're able to pay attention and really listen to one another, that goes a long way. I'm not sure how valid this story is. I don't think Snopes has an article to fact check it. But it is rumored that the inventor of the stethoscope said this: "If you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients." Right? This tool is going to allow you to hear their heart, their pulse. You're going to hear more from your patients than you've heard before. You'll be able to detect murmurs and detect all these sort of things. Don't use that as an excuse to stop listening to your patients. Listening is a manifold thing. Right? When we listen to what people say, but we're also listening to their environments. We're listening to the subtexts behind what they say. We're listening to common experiences that we've had with a person when they talk. We're listening and hearing so much more. Don't get so caught up in the words that they're saying that you forget to listen to who they are as well. Listening is a pretty comprehensive thing. But listening to what somebody tells you, that's where it starts. And the final thing, we're talking about the good news of Jesus. We're talking about the gospel and how we can help get people to see the good news of the gospel, receive it as good news. And it thrives in various contexts, in almost every different setting. But the gospel looks different in every different setting. when different people hear the gospel, they may focus on a different aspect than another group of people. Good news to one group of people isn't the exact same good news as it is to other people. Now, certainly it's all centered around the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But what part of that story becomes most meaningful to a people has a lot to do with who they are and where they are. And so when we go out into the world and listen to people's stories, we are seeing and figuring out where the good news of Jesus may fit into that person's story, right? Where the good news meets their life. Because for some people, they may have heard a good news that didn't sound good to them. It may have sounded like a lot of bad news. Somebody who has a lot of baggage, and all they've heard about is sin and suffering and death and hell, and they just assume that they've been cast into hell because of the bad things that they've done in their life. Well, that may not be the best starting point in your gospel presentation, right? That we're all sinners in the hands of an angry God, and he's just waiting to poke us with I don't know, pokers, right? That's not a great lead-in for somebody. So they just may need to know that they are loved and accepted, and that Jesus Christ died for every sinner. And that, yes, we are all sinners, from the least of us to the greatest. The gospel is big enough to be good news for every person, right? The gospel is good news, is big enough to be good news for every person. And we need to hear their stories and help show and help demonstrate and help communicate how that is true. So that is listening with care. Let's try it out this week. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Spend at least one period of time this week listening for the Holy Spirit, sitting in prayer and not talking. Just say, Lord, Spirit, speak to me. And then maybe do some practicing. Practice some of these postures that we learned this morning with some of the people that you wrote on your sheet, one of the 230 plus that we're praying for. That'll be a good start. Then we'll go from there. But let's pray. Gracious God, light of the world, strengthen us. Fill us with your joy, your boldness, your peace. Fill us with a love for the people around us and a motivation to share that love, to demonstrate that love, to demonstrate your love through acts of kindness and mercy. Lord, continue to shape us. Make us one as you are one. Lord, fill us with your grace as we come to your table. In the strong name of the risen Lord Jesus, all God's people say, Amen.